Yes. Okay, let's move on to how to hand knit a merino wool blanket. I mean, are you a knitter, Shaylee, at all?
I am, actually, yeah. My granny taught me when I was younger, and it's just very therapeutic and soothing.
Esther, are you by any chance a practitioner of the art of knitting?
No, sorry, but I like knitted blankets.
Good. So, Anna, why did you decide a matter of hours ago to actually, with the catchphrase ingenious, well, that's really a catchword, really, include this whole notion of how to hand knit a merino wool blanket and indeed share it with the world?
Well, I thought it was absolutely brilliant because you actually, when you're knitting manually with your fingers and knitting needles, you take for granted the actual structure of what you're knitting. And this little clip on YouTube, I think it is, shows how it works without the needles. Now, I've heard people knit with their arms, i.e. they're using their hands as needles, which is tricky because obviously the wool needs to be quite thick to do that. But the one lady in the clip who does not use needles at all and manages to achieve a beautiful looking throw, she deserves a wholehearted clap from all who witness it, because I think it's brilliant. I love it.
Well, clearly the choice of things to share can vary from that to what Shaylee has been considering in virtual reality, which we won't talk about for reasons. I just don't want to go there. But Shaylee, you're looking at this video. What do you think? Is this something which you think, this will help with the therapy? No needles whatsoever.
This actually looks incredible. One of my friends bought one of these big wool blankets from eBay, and I kid you not, it cost her about £125. But you may as well just buy the wool and make it yourself. Good share, Anna.
Yeah, or indeed just purchase a sheep.
Yeah.
Cut out the middle person entirely.
It's very warm and very cozy.
It does. And as the nights are continuing to draw in, and will continue to do so until December the 21st, we kind of figured it's worthwhile sharing that. I know there are drive time programs that say, what are you talking about, blankets? If your car has an unfortunate sort of malfunction, and you find this could be a lifesaver.
Could be a Christmas present.
Exactly. And you wouldn't want to re-gift it either, which is what we were talking about with Michael Blackburn and Inspired On earlier today. Anna, every so often you just drop in a bombshell. 2 weeks ago, of course, you revealed the fact that your son had just become a lifesaver, which is fine. Saving people's lives from drowning, as you do on a standard line in Jersey. What other things have you been getting up to over the last 168 hours since last we featured you on the programme?
Ooh, now there's a tall order. I mean, we've got something in our collection. This is work-related, so I'm going to bore you. But I'm sure people at the University of Lincoln, some of them who do history, study the Civil War period. Well, it's unique in Jersey because we gave refuge to who was eventually Charles II. And we have a diary that's a kind of Jersey peeps. It's called the Journal of Jean Chevalier, who was a little man who lived in the Royal Square, which is the centrepiece of St. Helier. And he recorded really bizarre things that were happening around him, as Pete did in his diary at roughly the same time. And it was appalling. I mean, if you actually saw what kind of things happened, this is me doing the index, there was a woman who was pregnant who was attacked, and her home was pillaged by a load of marauding men. It doesn't say whether they were on the king's side or whether they were on the Commonwealth side. But some of the incidents, and witches were being burned as well, and there's an incident where the king, is it the king's evil, where he sort of puts his hand on things and people get cured of disease. So, that's been the focus of my attention the last week, is looking at the index for the Jean Chevalier Journal. And it's awful. When you see how barbaric things were, life isn't so bad in 2020. It really isn't.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Jean Chevalier, of course, was with us between 1906 and 1993, according to that free encyclopedia you can actually receive online. French writer, philosopher and theologian, best known for his co-authorship of the Dictionnaire des Symboles. Dictionary of Symbols.
I think he's the wrong guy. Ours is 1600.
Do you know, I thought that was the case. So a different Chevalier. Yes. And not to be confused with Maurice either, or the Canadian figure skater Jean Chevalier.
Oh, there's a singer called Jean Chevalier. Oh, no. Yes, there's a singer. No, this is Jean Chevalier. He was born about 1620, 1630.
We're clearly going to have to sort this out.
The jersey and the googly bits. You might get him.
So Jean Chevalier, as in J-E-A-N, as in Jean? Yes. And yes. Chevalier as in C-H-E-V-A-L-I-E-R?
Exactly. And if you put journal or diary and then jersey, you should get him come up.
Well, I mean, I'm a male, so I can't multitask. So I'll basically allow Shaylee to quiz you a little bit further about this, or indeed share the thoughts of indeed this, because clearly, you know, our French writer, philosopher and theologian of the 20th century, sorry, he's not the right one. Not the right Jean Chevalier.
The wrong Jean.
Exactly.
So how has this survived this long?
Oh, this is the interesting thing. The actual diary itself, which is enormous, it's sitting in the museum exhibit room in a room called The Story of Jersey, because it's such an epic sort of set of years where Guernsey supported, our neighbouring island supported the Commonwealth and Cromwell, and Jersey, for some reason or other, who seems a bit snootier people living on it, decided to support the crown, and so offered this wretched prince, as he was then, and he was proclaimed king in Jersey. King Charles II was proclaimed in Jersey. We're becoming faint.
We have indeed located an imprimatur, really, of Jean Chevalier, Jersey diarist, 1589 to 1675.
That's your man.
Who apparently, in le vingt ans de la ville, excuse the French accent, lived and wrote here.
Yes, that's the man. That's it.
You see, this is the kind of thing I like to feel it's kind of raising the cultural profile of Jersey on a regular
Definitely.
Basis.
Exactly. I mean, clearly, I never realised Jersey was such an interesting island.
Oh, I'd love to.
Very small, but some weird things happen, including witchcraft trials. That's the other thing that interests me.
That was going to be my next line of questioning.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved from knitting with no needles
to witches
via Jean Chevalier.
Yeah, he mentions that certain parishes, they're like little villages, had the right to destroy their own witches. But having said that, they killed them first before they burned them. In Guernsey, they didn't. They actually burned them alive. Mm. And in one case...
Was it because they were fresher that way? I'm sorry.
Crispier.
No. One poor woman was pregnant, very heavily pregnant, and they threw her infant that was newly born on mistake back into the flames. And I think there's probably some witch curse on that family of the man who did that, because that's just barbarism. Nobody would do anything so yuck.
I think that's just called haunting.
Yes.
The baby is haunting that family.
You see, fortunately, Estera can actually say that from, you know, just outside Szczecin in Poland, there's no such things as any skeletons in the Polish regions whatsoever. No, exactly. You know, Taras Bulba and the whole notion of the Poles and the Cossacks. We just get on with everybody, don't we, really?
Yes.
It's an important thing. I'll just quote from the Island Wiki that to most people, the name of Jean Chevalier means nothing. Well, it didn't to us, let's face it, a few months ago. You know, I know people say we've had rehearsals, we've worked on this show for at least 3 months. No, this is the improv section. So those interested in the history of the island of Jersey, he became the Pepys of Jersey. That's
exactly.
As in Samuel, as opposed to some sort of strange sort of scenario of people are looking around at these. Samuel Pepys, somewhat different from Samuel, who hesitated not in the frankest manner to describe the many episodes of his very busy but somewhat amorous passage through life. In Chevalier's diary, self plays a very minor part, but like all Jersey men, he was intensely interested in his fellow men, and as incident followed incident during the 8 troublesome years, 1643 to 1651, they would find a place in Jean's diary. Do you have a diary, Estera? Or is it a case of that's so 20th, 19th century? Everything's on my wiki page.
No, I used to as a teenager, and yeah, definitely.
Do you still have that in some safe place so that...
It'd be probably on my mum's house, yes. Right. Yeah, she stores everything. It will be in her attic. So.
Somewhere, because obviously the journey from Poland to America, interior design, over to Lincoln... And now, you know, it's phenomenal. Do you have a diary, Shaylee?
I definitely had one when I was like a kid, maybe preteen, and then my life turned out not to be that exciting, so I ran out of things to write.
I had a diary probably till I was about 20 years old.
Well, you clearly led a more interesting life than me.
It was a diary slash scrapbook. book out.
Oh, nice.
Or possibly to be...
I think this is where my creative background actually got, you know, my background is graphic design. So.
Vision board.
Yes, exactly.
Vision boards and vision quests. It's the way forward. And yourself, Anna, are you a keen diarist?
I did. My St Mary's days are littered with receipts, and not just that, programmes from various concerts I went to, even bus tickets and stupid things like sugar cube wrappers from France. And I look back at them in awe because I seemed to be so jolly when I was younger. And now that I'm getting over the 50 sort of threshold, things are not quite so kind of.
Let's face it, once you move over a certain threshold, you become an old fogey and it's fogey. Just pointless. Many people would say, actually, you reach that stage post 23. But, you know, it's a way forward. We'll test it out, really. So, never mind. So before we head up to Edinburgh, Jersey to Edinburgh, it falls to Shaley to put those last two interrogatives to once again a fascinating info-packed correspondent from our Jersey soul. Over to you, please, Shaley.
You know the drill, Anna. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have. Thank you very much.
Oh, excellent. And thank you very much for educating us with a little slice of history from Jersey.
It may be published in the near future, so keep an eye on it.
Oh, nice.
A little sneak peek there, especially for the midweek drive listener on Siren Radio, where the time's coming around to 13 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock.
Romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
I wonder if they ever talk about prehistoric shark's teeth in Jersey. I'm sure they must, you know, on the cold winter evenings. One of those retrospective line of things there. William Coles, welcome to the Midweek Drive airwaves here on Siren Radio. Are you a happy bunny this wonderful November the 15th day?
I'm a frisky bunny, yes.
Excellent. Well, we've celebrated the birthday of Prince Charles yesterday, and today we've been celebrating the birthday of Kevin Pascoe, Siren presenter. So there we are.
It's all
good stuff.
Okay.
Marvellous. I'll usually do a belated birthday greeting from that point of view. And Mary Dancy, of course, a midweek drivette from Tyres Past, passed her driving test today as well.
Congratulations.
She won't be listening. She's not. It's nice to sort of keep a praise to that. William, I think you have spoken to the fabulous Estera Sutton before, Estera Sutton, from originally just outside Stettin in Poland. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, exactly. not to be confused with Martina Wiejka, who is in Stettin in Poland, but again, despite the fact that she said, oh, wonderful, we can speak in Polish for the whole programme. I said, yes, come along. No show, sorry. It's something's probably cropped up. Likewise with Eva MacDonald. Anyway, Esther is with us. So is Shaylee McKenzie. And we've been talking about diaries. So, William, have you ever kept a diary? Or is it one of those things where you say, look, I spent all my life as a journalist writing stuff. Why would I keep a diary unless you paid me?
No. I've got one. What happened was about 12 years ago, I had a New Year's resolution thinking, right, this time I'm going to get a ledger that was so handsome and so expensive that I would not be able to avoid it. So I went off to the Skye Bindery in Skye and commissioned them to do a ledger for me. And about 10 ledgers on, I'm still hard at it, but I only cherry-picked the really good stuff.
I can go along with that. Now, we've commented on your Facebook page before as Bill Coles, of course, and we can see you there in full force with two offspring. It's all right, they are related. He hasn't just borrowed these two children, at least that's what he always tells me. It's very important that children are for life, not just for Christmas. It's a line I like to continually.
I was going to say Weinstein alert.
Please.
Stranger danger.
But from that particular perspective, because who would have thought that literally he'd go all Heath Ledger on us with the line on November the 1st, is this Joker look really me? Estera? I mean, maybe it's a sort of post-Valentine scenario. Maybe it's what every Scottish person who can't get dressed up as Braveheart needs to actually sort of have, you know, no blue paint. What are your thoughts as a designer on the Bill Coles Joker look there?
I like the lady's hat.
She likes the lady's hat.
Oh, well, thank God for that. That's Sylvia, our babysitter. Oh. She's Polish as well.
Oh, is she?
Whoa, just goes to show that Polish people can babysit as well. We are just such a multi-talented country. It's just amazing. Sorry, half Polish aspect coming across here. Let's fly the flag. After all, we've qualified for the World Cup finals, whereas, of course, apart from England, nobody else from the home countries have. Ireland and Scotland. Not really. Anyway, Shaylee, your thoughts?
Is it bad that you look better as the Joker than just normal?
Is Bill Coles ever normal?
No, I think that's right. I mean, you know, for Halloween, it's the one night of the year when I sort of blossom.
You can be your true self then.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, normally, without the makeup or anything else, I'm just Joe Schmo, a middle-aged guy. I mean, I might as well be begging outside Greg's, frankly.
Oh, please. You know, I'm sure that, you know, in some cultures, probably in alternate dimensions, the very notion of the little baby sausage roll is there and kept sort of and is looked after. You know, just because you've got a nativity scene and as opposed to, you know, the son of God made man, you actually have a sausage roll. I'm sure there's a bit of a sense of humour in Bethlehem. You know, it's just let it go sometimes. I mean,
Alex, did you not know that Jesus was a sausage roll?
I'm not going to comment on that one, Shaylee, because it's going to lead to eternal damnation. And frankly, we've got to steer the whole thing away from that whole process. Yeah.
The Greg's nativity scene. I think you're onto something.
Yeah, well, it's a way forward. Estera, when was the last time you celebrated Christmas in Poland?
Probably about 2 years ago.
Oh, so you haven't left it for...
No. I try to go, pretty regularly. This year, my mum's coming over from Poland.
Contrasting, as I say, yes, the British versus the Polish celebrations of the Feast of Saturnalia, where we all go crazy and dance like manic souls because the lights are suddenly getting better and the days are getting longer. What are the main key differences between... And do you have a preference?
I celebrate kind of both, I would say, in England. The biggest day is the 24th. I'm Catholic, so we do not eat turkey or any sort of meat on a Christmas day.
But I certainly consume turkey on a Christmas day. Is it fish?
It is fish. Yes, you do have.
See, I never got yes, fresh fish, no doubt.
Yes, I mean, my hometown is right on the Baltic Sea, so you do get fresh cod.
Yeah. Cod, not God, just in case people are wondering that we're going off on a whole different line there.
No, I think it's just the date. The 25th is it's like that first day of holiday, but the biggest day is the 24th, the evening of the 24th. Food-wise, I would say, is the meat not being present at the table. I think it's all changing. I think Christmas became such a, I would say, maybe commercial holiday a lot of, a lot of parts of the what we celebrate in Poland, it kind of comes from the West. I know some people even start opening the presents on the 25th.
Unbelievable.
Which normally you do it on the 24th.
Exactly.
It's like Halloween. I've never celebrated Halloween as a child in Poland, but now it comes, children do,
I blame your time in America, Esther, because whilst you're in America, whereabouts in America were you interior designing?
Michigan.
You got your trick or treat. You got your Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You got.
I do enjoy. I like the food on a Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat any turkey, but I do. I do like the pumpkin pies and pecan pies.
We'll have time to speak to our American colleagues later on in the production, clearly. But Shaylee, I mean, it was Scotland, South Africa, Lincoln. Is it a case of I don't really care as long as the world is a peaceful place and we celebrate the brotherhood of humanity and sisterhood, of course.
In terms of Christmas, so I've actually I've grown up as a Jehovah's Witness.
So it doesn't really matter at all.
So
really.
Actually, I don't. I'm really bizarre because I don't have that Christmas feeling or like birthdays. I don't really celebrate birthdays.
Don't you get fish?
No fish. Go fish. But and all my friends find it really bizarre because they'll spend loads of time buying Christmas presents and stuff, but all my family are still in the tree, so I don't have any people to buy for.
Counts. It's the thought that counts. That's the important thing. Anyway, you'd be re-gifting all sorts of things. So is everything laid up in the Coles household then? I mean, have plans been set to ensure that everybody's going to have a fantastic time? Or is it a case of, no, we're in Scotland now, so Christmas always takes second place to Hogmanay?
It does take second place. That is why we're going down south to my folks for Christmas and then back for Hogmanay. So we are having double bubble.
Good.
Nice.
But I hear the royal family, they also celebrate, because they're half German, they also celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. And they open all their presents on Christmas Eve. And none of them are allowed to spend more than about a tenner on each other.
Well, unless they've declared it as an offshore interest, presumably.
That's just
in
for
case.
One day only.
you don't want to go too crazy on the wholesale system. It's keeping it real. That's the important thing. Keeping it real with the Windsors or the Battenbergs, depending on your sort of perspective, really. And having blown my chance once again of being in the New Year's Honours list with that little comment, never mind. It's all taken in good positivity. Estera, would you like to put those last two questions to William Coles, please, a.k.a. the Joker, a.k.a. Bill, romantic novelist extraordinaire?
Did you have a nice time being on the show, William?
Oh, I loved it. I always do. Thank you so much.
And you'll be back with us soon.
I think tomorrow,
quite
actually.
Literally tomorrow morning. It's a dynamic duo. He'll be set and ready to actually go to town with the head of communications at the University of Lincoln, Ellie Sample, and a whole heap of other goodies. We are now at the horns of excitement because will we speak to Binky? Will she be there? Will we not speak to Binky? Or will we actually be going to James Litherland? You'll find out after Binky with Fireflies. Last week on the Midweek Drive, we had Professor Jason Whittaker, we had Finn Pollard, and of course we had Eva McDonald. And we all loved Fireflies, and we were all keen to speak to Binky, but Binky wasn't there. And we sent a connection to Jeremy, and he had heard from Binky, and Binky was stuck in traffic and couldn't answer. So we've rescheduled, obviously, because you can't get enough Fireflies. What did we make of Binky and Fireflies in the studio, Shaylee?
Absolutely loved it. And actually Lyric Magazine on Twitter have said that it gets your toes tapping, and I cannot agree with that more.
It gets your toes tapping. And Estera.
Yes, no, love it.
It's a win-win situation, Binky. Yay!
Hello there.
So how bad was the traffic last week? Go and share the pain with us. I mean, because clearly we'd left a couple of voicemail messages. We thought, what's happened?
It was horrific, and I didn't actually get your messages until later in the evening.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I'd seen my message in general. I just felt so awful to all of you guys. I'm just sending all my apologies now. I'm really, really sorry. Hopefully I can make up for it.
Of course, exactly. Well, we did play Fireflies last week, and I say it got a lot of... There were a couple of comments about the video, though, which we need to address, because these are issues. First of all, Professor Jason Whittaker was concerned about the footwear. I think that was something that the Finn shared, exactly.
Ah.
I mean, you know...
I,
I must agree. I was second guessing that footwear. By the time when we were filming, it got to about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought my foot was going to fall off.
You see, there's this.
It was so cold, and we couldn't see the floor in front of us because with the cameras that you see during the video, they're actually evening cameras, so they pick up what we can't see, if that makes sense. So the camera could see me, but I couldn't see the floor. So there was a few shots where I was nearly in that lake.
Yeah. I mean, you see, we're laughing, but there's a certain sort of line there where
you don't really know what's going on behind.
You've got a great artist here. You've got somebody who Tessa Snart has actually said she's going to be featured on the Christmas Vision special even. And yet, you know, she could have fallen into a lake, never have heard of her ever again. You know,
this is it. I mean, I could almost nearly drown. But
yeah. I mean, I'm thinking health.
We got through it.
Health and safety here, Binky. This is a big question mark on the whole thing.
You need more fireflies.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I had my fireflies and my lantern showing a little bit of light, so we was okay.
Which is all good. Now, again, the other characters we got there, I mean, in terms of fireflies, because clearly we've got Owl City earlier in the decade actually came up with fireflies. Lots of fire, you know, there's clearly something magical about the firefly. Why did you choose the firefly as an insect to actually focus on? Because, I mean, you could have gone grasshoppers, you know.
Ladybugs, exactly.
Do you know what? There isn't a specific reason. I think it was more to do with when we was writing the track. We actually wrote the riff before we wrote the lyrics, and it just fit. It was just one of these things where you're in the studio and you're just writing this song, and it just falls together so well, and we're not really thinking about anything at the time. And so there isn't a specific reason why we wrote about fireflies. It just happened, and I think everything happens for a reason, and it obviously worked.
Exactly.
I don't think grasshopper sounds as artistic.
It's not got quite the same.
No.
I fly with grasshoppers.
It's a, I mean, there's a whole series of kung fu that's based on grasshoppers across the world, really. So don't,
next song.
I'll keep that in mind for the next track.
Just bear in mind Jiminy Cricket's song, you know, When You Wish Upon a Star. And he was just a humble grasshopper, ultimately, but he went American for the cricket scenario.
Exactly.
Anyway, Shaylee, any other thoughts you'd like to share with Binky? I think we might have told dulcet tones that she is indeed British.
That's excellent.
I am. Yeah, my hometown is Essex.
Yay.
Nice.
And it's, you know, so in terms of the Essex connection, whereabouts in Essex? I mean, or is it literally Essex?
No, I'm based in Brentwood in Essex, which is I think it's classed as East, but I'm absolutely horrific with geography, so I'm just. Yeah, don't ask too many geography questions. You'll get the wrong answer.
we like to feel we're on the planet Earth. If we've got that identified, that's all we can actually go for. You know, it's
really I like that. I'm going to use that next time.
She's going to put that as a lyric. I've just got a question about your inspiration, because the video is really interesting and really quirky, and it's got these really rich orange tones in it, which is obviously like in relation to fireflies.
And characters who look as though they've come from a very strange planet indeed.
Yeah, it's very tribal. So I'm just wondering, you personally, as a singer-songwriter, what's your inspiration? Where do you feel most inspired?
I think in terms of the video, do you mean in terms of the video or the song, or I think as a whole?
As a whole, definitely.
As a whole. I think it's really difficult. When we wrote Fireflies, we didn't have the whole tribal image in our minds. That was something that came a lot later. I think what actually happened when we was writing the song, as I say, we wasn't thinking too much into a storyline as such. And then when I actually... we finished writing the song, we felt that it was very sort of based around struggles that some people have. A lot of people have their own sort of like demons, not necessarily all bad, but things that we would like to better ourselves in life. And I felt that really that was really like a big part of the storyline in Fireflies. So then when we sat down to write the actual sort of like demographic of the video, we sort of thought it'd be really good to sort of get a tribal vibe where they're trying to pull this person into it, but not because it's a bad thing, but they think it's bad. So they're sort of like chasing me through the forest, but actually it's a really happy, fun vibe, and They just want to have fun and play with the fireflies in the jar. And it was sort of like a storyline that we pulled together from that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. No, that sounds really interesting.
I'm now going to actually move to a very important part, which I'm going to ask Astira and Shaylee to actually vote on. This could be crucial, Binky, to your career, given that Camo from Nashville is also one of the people who actually likes your page. Should we actually like Binky's official Facebook page? Yes
do
or
it.
No,
Astira? Do it. Like
yeah.
it.
Okay, yeah, Jeffy, it's done.
Please.
There we are.
It's,
yeah, we are.
Thank you so much, guys.
Fireflies at now. Binky official at Binky official. So I think, Astira, you'll be liking it as well in your own account. It's wonderful stuff, really. Astira, any questions from your own perspective?
Binky, do you have like any gigs or do you play in public? Do you have anything upcoming?
I'm currently working. I'm finishing off my material for next year in the studio at the moment.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to get some live gigs in for early January.
All right, brilliant.
Which you can all be kept up to date with on all of my social media. That's Facebook, YouTube, my website, Twitter. You'll be able to find them on all of them. And as I say, we're looking around mid-January time. I'm really looking forward to getting back out and meeting the fans and getting back to stage. I've been away from the stage now for coming up to 2 years because I spent so much time working on my sound and some new material. And I'm just so excited to get back on that stage and share it with you all. And so anybody who's glad to come down, I'd really appreciate your support.
Yeah, no, the track is great, so I'm sure you, yeah.
A mere 5 English weeks ago, Binky independently released her debut single, Fireflies. It is awesome. We've just heard it. To see that it has just reached 35,000 streams made her day on November the 13th. Everyone's love and support means the world to Binky, and she cannot express how grateful she is to everyone who's played, shared, and purchased. She's just a nice person.
So humble. Very much
meanwhile,
appreciate that.
We've had an email from Jeremy saying that Binky is there now. We can reach her. It's all right, Jeremy. You can breathe easy. It's okay.
Yeah, I hope Jeremy's listening.
Exactly. It's all worked out splendidly. So that's important stuff from that perspective. Binky, it's been great. Finally touching base with your good self. And I know Tessa Snart, who runs the sister program, Sound and Country Vision, is very keen to feature you as well. We're very keen for you to return, but have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us now you finally managed to be with us on the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio?
Yes, we have. It's been wonderful. I mean, just all the love and support from everybody is just unreal, and I can't thank you enough, guys, for taking the time to speak to me this evening and just supporting myself and Fireflies. It honestly does mean so much to me.
So the next critical question, which I think we've sort of already answered, but we'll address it in any case, is will you be kind enough to return and keep us appraised of Binky adventures in the near future?
100%. You let me know and I will gladly come back and speak to you guys whenever.
A round of applause.
My mobile number.
We got the voicemail. It's all great. Yeah, a round of applause for Binky, please. Yay!
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.